Welcome to the STAR Coalition podcast. My name is Luke Kramer, Executive Director of the STAR Coalition. We're so glad that you're here with us today. We like to meet with some of the greatest minds in advocacy, research, and the treatment of those living with central nervous system disorders, many times such as areas of schizophrenia, bipolar, depression, and other indications. We're very excited to have with us today Nicole Gutierrez. She is the site director for Pillar Clinical Research in Bentonville, Arkansas, the place where dreams are made, right? It's a beautiful place up in northwest Arkansas. And we are excited to have her with us today. So, Nicole, you have been in clinical research for many years, and I know that maybe some people that are listening today may not know a lot about clinical research. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you do and maybe some of the expectations if people decide to enter a clinical research study? First of all, thanks for being here, Nicole. It's always good to talk
with you. Yes, thanks for having me. Thanks for the welcome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah, I can certainly do that. I've been doing research for a while now, and I've always been at the site level, trying to find patients to do trials. And so, you know, a lot of times people, I know here in our area, at least, people don't know what research is. And, quite frankly, you've never even heard of a research trial. So, you know, what we like to do is start talking about, you know, all the medications that are out on the market right now, and maybe that they are already taking, for blood pressure or whatnot, you know, had to have gone through some kind of research trial. And so that's kind of where we start. And, you know, a lot of people don't think about that. I never really thought about it before I started in research, you know, about how that process even worked. So, we tell them that, you know, drug companies are looking for people to participate to try out new medications. And so that's kind of where it starts. They, you know, there's a drug for someone to try, for people to come and try. And so what we do at the research site level is we help find patients for those studies. And, you know, there's a rigorous screening visit that's done for these patients. So we explain, you know, kind of what that looks like, and that, you know, not everyone's suitable for research and they have to meet certain criteria. And so it's kind of explaining that process, and then explaining, you know, what that looks like from start to finish if they were to go into a trial. And then, you know, we also explain that, you know, should you finish a trial, that, you know, this medication that you may be trying may not even be available for years. I mean, it could take, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, depending on 7 years where they're at, and, you know, in the research where the drug is in its development, for them to even see it come out on the market. So we try to explain that to them. And people, it's educational for them. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, people have learned something new.
You know, it's amazing that you mentioned the fact that research is not really seen as an option in our communities, mostly around mental health. You know, we look at oncology and heart disease and other indications. Research is generally put on the table as an option for individuals when they are living with that diagnosis. Obviously, there's stigma, there's a lack of education around mental health and some other areas that for studies that you may be doing. So what are some of the challenges that you do see is to engage individuals to even, first of all, know that research exists, but number two, to actually want to participate in a clinical research trial?
You know, often it's surprising when we come across actual patients, a lot of them, once you explain the process, aren't really hesitant to, you know, they want to participate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's various reasons for wanting them to do that. Some of them, you know, it's a, you know, they want to find new medications for the next generation. Some of them, it's just, you know, maybe they're on a current medication that's not working. Maybe they want to try something new. So generally, we don't see a lot of hesitation with people going into trials, but it's really where it's at is where a lot of the education needs to happen is that within the community with other people that aren't familiar with research, that maybe the sites aren't, you know, one-on-one, you know, having conversations with actual potential patients, facilities, you know, doctors in the area that, you know, a lot of the facilities, at least here, and I've been doing this for 10 years, a lot of them still don't know that there's research. And it's getting them to get past the white coat mentality. A lot of them think that that we're exploiting patients, that research facilities exploit patients, that we're just, that they're lab rats. And it's trying to educate them about the process, that these studies are all voluntary, that they're voluntary, that patients can, they can choose to go into a trial and then maybe turn around later and choose to withdraw, and that those are all options. But it's, you know, it's, it isn't discussed, and I think a lot of it has to do with the stigma around mental health. It's not, research isn't given as a treatment option, like other indications, which is unfortunate.
So, for instance, a lack of education, you know, there are a lot of touch points for people that are living with mental illness, whether it be their PCPs or psychiatrists or therapists or family members, you know, their peers, whoever it may be. Are you guys doing anything to reach out in the community and begin to educate about research or mental health?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we've always had, you know, it's taken some time, but, you know, it's getting out there and talking to facilities one-on-one, doing, you know, a lot of sites know what, and sponsors, CROs, they know what lunch and learns are, but instead of going in and like specifically talking about an actual study that we're doing, we like to go in and, you know, we have presentation made just to talk to people about what research is. We, you know, discuss the phases, things like that, you know, for actual clinicians in the area that may understand some of that. For lay people, what we're doing, what we've developed and we're getting ready to roll out starting at the beginning of 2020 in January, we're going to start having monthly informational sessions about research. So they're open to the public. Anyone can come. I mean, it's certainly if, you know, a doctor wants to come in and join us, that would be, you know, that's fine as well. But it's really just for whoever wants to come and to just hear about what research is about and what they can expect should they want to do research. Like, what does that mean when I come in for my first visit? What am I going to do? And not all studies are the same, but most of them follow the same kind of flow. And so it's just kind of giving them all of that information. We're not trying to hide anything. You know, we want to make sure that they have, you know, all the information that they would need. And I think that we feel like by doing that, it will make people more comfortable with, you know, even reaching out to us. Because some, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, they may hear that we're here, but they don't know what we do. And then some people just may not want to reach out. And, you know, some people like to collect information before they, you know, do that, take the next step. So we're hoping that will, you know, at least get people talking within the community. And it's really just about educating and making everyone aware of what research is and that it's here.
Yeah. I wish, I know that you guys are a shining example of how you can engage your community in, again, not necessarily to say, look, come participate in this trial, or here's a certain medication that we are, or therapy that we are promoting. It's more about what resources do we have as a research facility to be able to close some of the gaps in our community when it comes to education and advocacy and resources. You know, there are a lot of positive things that can happen for individuals being a part of research. For instance, having pretty good medical care, right? I mean, the assessments that you do are very thorough, that usually there is a stipend involved, so it can help some financially. There's a lot of different positives about research. What are some things that maybe you see or ways that people could benefit, or at least it could be something that could be a positive outcome for them to participate rather than being so afraid of the idea of being part of a trial?
Well, you know, you've already mentioned that they, you know, being part of a trial, they, you know, get access to some of the things that they wouldn't normally maybe have access to. So for one of the things that a lot of, at least in our area, you know, we're, you know, in Arkansas, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have access to healthcare. And so a lot of them don't have insurance. And so they aren't able to go in and see their doctor frequently and get checkups. And so that's one way, you know, some people like that. They know that they're going to come in and get a free, you know, lab workup. You know, we've caught things, you know, during those, during lab work when we're screening people, and, you know, people are made aware of certain issues, and, you know, they're always grateful that they have that. That may not mean that they can continue on, but they know that that's, that they have that access. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, some people just, you know, they maybe have, you know, they have loved ones within their family that maybe also are experiencing the same kind of, maybe they're younger generation experiencing some of the same kind of mental health issues, and maybe they're doing it because they think that, you know, that medication would be beneficial to them later. There's that. And then, you know, some people like having, you know, it's a perfect example, you know, there's, you know, depression trials. You've got patients that, you know, these are high functioning patients that may have day, you know, jobs that they go to Monday through Friday, but maybe it's just supplement that, you know, it's going to be supplemental, income for them. And, you know, and then it's helping people too. So there's just various things, reasons for people wanting to do it. One of the things we like to make sure that we point out to people is, you know, that they understand, you know, what it's very detailed on the front end of what's, you know, what's going to be expected of them throughout the trial. You know, one of the main things is making sure they understand the length of time they will be spending here, you know, during their visits, and then making sure that they're committed. Like, we, you know, it is voluntary. They can decide later not to, you know, to continue, but we do want to make sure that people understand that if you're going, like, we want people that are going to be committed to seeing this through.
And without volunteers, without individuals who can participate, we will not be able to advance more scientific understanding of the brain and of symptoms and of ways that we can eliminate many of these sometimes devastating symptoms that people live with CNS disorders, especially around mental illness. So, you know, maybe just for a second to speak about the importance of people volunteering, people to be a part of a trial. I know you talked about some of the misconceptions of people saying, well, I don't want to be a guinea pig. But generally, whenever you're talking about an oncology trial, people don't even bring that up as a issue, right? I mean, you don't think of people that are in an oncology trial as being used as just a tool for medication that we have to get people involved, or otherwise we can't advance the scientific understanding.
Well, and I think that brings something up here. You know, I think maybe some of where the misconception comes from is, you know, a lot of the oncology trials and a lot of the, you know, cardiology trials are done within, you know, clinics. Mm-hmm. So they're patients that are already being seen, and, you know, maybe someone comes across and, you know, oh, well, you'd be good for research. So I think it's a little bit different with mental health research in that way, in that a lot of, from what I've seen, a lot of the research facilities are just freestanding research facilities. And it's not, people don't have that same, you know, it's not like they're being seen on it, you know, on a monthly basis from this doctor, from, right, you know, that they're going to be working with. So I think that's, you know, part of what we like to do. And we started to change the language, like, you know, the conversation when we talk to people is when they start, you know, when people immediately start saying guinea pig, you know, we say, well, hold on, this is an actual treatment option. Now, you may not, yes, there is we explain what placebo is. We explain that. Yes, this is a possible treatment option. Doesn't mean that you will actually, you know, could, you know, you may or may not be on open label medication. But, you know, we try to explain that, but we also try to, you know, we try to combat the guinea pig conversation with, well, you know, if this was an oncology trial, you know, this would be brought up as a treatment option. So we try to bring it back to that, like, bringing up other kinds of research so that they understand, like, oh, well, yeah, that is true. Because oftentimes when you're, you know, even on in the, you know, mainstream media, like, you see on your, what, you know, TV shows, like, people are doing, like, the research that you see on there are, like, oncology research, mm-hmm. things like that. So, you know, it takes people back. It brings up an example for them, and then they kind of, oh, okay, I get it. So it's just making sure that you give them enough information. And, you know, that's one of the other things, you know, we're not trying to, you know, you can come, anyone's free to come look at the facility anytime. You can come visit with the doctors. And so we try to be as transparent as possible.
You know, I think that's also reflective of the larger mental health system. It is so fractured that many times primary care physicians are not talking to their psychiatrist, and their primary care physicians are not talking to their therapist, or their therapist is not talking to the family members, that everything seems to be so segmented. Whereas, like you said, it's a really insightful observation, had not something that's come up a part of some of the conversations is that whenever you go in to treat, let's say, for instance, cancer, that it is such an integrated care experience around that, that research is just a natural extension of the options, whereas it is just not seen the way many times in brain disorders and mostly around mental illness. Fascinating. Well, I appreciate you sitting down with us today, Nicole. I think that people, I do certainly, have a better understanding of just some of the expectations and the processes of being part of a clinical research study, some of the positive things that can happen about being a part of it. And mostly, like you said, some people may find a sense of, look, I can make a difference, not only maybe perhaps for myself, but generations to come, we'll have a better and deeper understanding of a particular disorder, and we can find ways that people can still have a fulfilling life despite the symptoms that they're experiencing. And again, knowing you, your commitment to individuals, and you're really the focus around making sure people get the best care and the best respect and dignity as they can moving through a clinical research study. That's you add a tremendous foundation to the work that's being done in clinical research. So I really thank you for the work that you're doing.
I appreciate your kind words, Luke.
So if you guys want to know a little bit more about Pillar Clinical Research, you can visit their website at www.pillarcr.com, PILLARCR.com. They've got different clinical research sites throughout the nation, some really great information on their website about clinical research and the work that they're doing. And thank you again, Nicole, and thank you guys for joining us today on the STAR Coalition podcast. As we do like to get together with thought leaders like Nicole and others in mental health and other areas to discuss topics affecting every single one of us. Continue to follow us at the STAR Coalition and on social media and our website at www.thestar.org. It's THESTARR2Rs.org. And until then, we'll see you soon.